Welcome to Radio Curious. I'm Barry Vogel. Dr. Grace Damon was crushed in a head-on collision on the San Francisco Golden Gate Bridge on May 21st, 2008. Her abdominal organs were shoved into her lung cavity. Many of her bones and muscles were injured, some beyond repair. A practicing Buddhist, Dr. Grace engaged her spirituality to survive this crisis, heal, and accept the new terms of her life. 3 years and 15 surgeries later, Dr. Grace became the medical director of the pain clinic at the San Francisco, California Laguna Honda Hospital, where she had previously worked as a physician for 18 years. States of Grace is a documentary film about her experience produced and directed by Mark Lipman and Helen Cohen, our guests in this edition of Radio Curious. We visited with them by phone from their home in San Francisco, California on May 16, 2014, and began our conversation with Helen Cohen describing Dr. Grace Damon, her longtime friend.
Grace, the subject of the film, is a dear old friend of mine. I've known for 25 years or so, and her head-on collision on the Golden Gate Bridge happened while Mark and I were on our honeymoon, actually. I found out about it in Italy, and we spent the next year really being very wrapped up with her community in just her care and supporting her while she was in the hospital.
And this was prior to beginning any film considerations.
Yeah. I mean, it was such a devastating and frightening and kind of overwhelming set of injuries. And, you know, the accident just prompted so much fear and the need for just endless care. So it wasn't the whole first year that she was in the hospital. The idea had come up at some point, I think, for filming, but it really wasn't until she was about to be discharged from the hospital after 13 months in rehab hospitals that Mark and I thought, well, if we're going to do any of this filming, we may as well, this is really the moment, and we should jump in. So our first major shoot with her was the day she went home from the hospital.
So what was the intention that the two of you had as to how you would behave as the entire crew in making the film?
Well, I think our intention was really about bearing witness to what she was going through. There was actually a tension around this because we were friends. We wanted to be supportive. We wanted to be helpful, but we also wanted to observe and document what she was confronting as she tried to put her life back together.
How could you separate your friendship and present as an observer and a documenter?
Well, that was a particularly challenging thing for me. Mark really wasn't, had met Grace actually at our wedding, but didn't know her. And so I think it was in some ways easier for him to jump in as the cinematographer and the main crew member of the two of us. For me, it was a constant tension through the entire process. And initially, we weren't sure whether or not I was going to have some role or he and I would have some presence, him by voice and me in the picture. And I actually do appear several times in the film, helping Grace get in and out of the wheelchair and things like that. But as we got deeper into it, we really did make the decision that I was not going to be, that we were going to stay separate and just, as Mark said, kind of bear witness and be observers and just kind of get in there with them as much as possible so that the audience watching the film would have as intimate a sense of what was unfolding for them as possible.
Well, Helen Cohen, you talk about tension. Tell us more. What is it about that tension? What did it feel like?
Well, you know, I think it came up the most for me when times got very difficult and Grace was in a lot of physical pain, but more so emotional pain when she was just really struggling and really depressed or, you know, just trying to get through the rough times to continue to sort of be this objective, quote-unquote observer was just very painful. I mean, I wanted to give her a hug. I wanted to just talk to her as a friend, and I had to kind of maintain my role as director, either by being silent, you know, and kind of allowing Mark to just keep shooting, or by, you know, just continuing to ask her questions that would elicit more of what she was going through. But I succeeded at times, and there were other times that, you know, where she and I did break down in tears, you know, at the end of an interview, and I just felt horrible about making a movie about this dear friend of mine who was in so much pain.
Mark Lipman, what did you see through the eye of your lens of what Grace Stammen was going through?
Well, it's interesting. It's not just the eye of a lens, but it's also the headphones and the microphones. And so there was incredible effort and struggle that I witnessed, but also through headphones, I could hear her breathing very, very clearly and all the effort that was conveyed in that. And it's interesting, too. I mean, breath is, she's a practicing Buddhist, and breathing is very central to her practice. So I was very sensitive to all of that as I was watching and listening. It's important to understand that Grace was, you know, going on her journey through this, and her partner, Fu, who was her primary caregiver through this, was going through her journey as well, and they were going through this together. So it wasn't just observing Grace's experience, but sort of bearing witness to what the whole family was going through, how they were learning to adjust to Grace's new reality, how Fu could take care of her effectively, especially the first time for anything. When she came home, Fu was learning how to transfer her effectively from a van to a wheelchair, how to transfer her from a bed to a wheelchair to a toilet seat. And it was really the first learnings that were fascinating to see the adjustments, the conversation, and just how hard all of this is, things that we all take so for granted had to be thought through very, very carefully every time.
Tell us what you saw.
I think one of the things that was most touching to me was literally the touching. There is so much physical contact that's required between people to manage this kind of situation, and it was the physical caring, the rubbing of lotion. Her occupational and physical therapist, we went to many appointments with her, and just the massage, and the hands-on caring, it was so visceral and so tactile and very moving to me, because that kind of touching isn't that commonplace in our culture.
Helen Cohen, you said that you and Grace Stammen had been longtime friends and that your children grew up together. Can you describe for us what happened to Grace in this horrendous accident, head-on collision on the Golden Gate Bridge just north of San Francisco?
Grace was hit. She was traveling home. Her daughter and dog were in the car with her, and she was crossing the Golden Gate Bridge toward Marin. And she was hit by an oncoming car, the driver of which passed out at the wheel and came across the divide and hit her head on. And she was basically, her CRV car was sort of smushed like an accordion, and her body was just mashed. She broke 17 bones and lacerated all kinds of internal organs. She had all of her abdominal organs shoved up into her lung cavity, and she had to be airlifted off the bridge and brought to John Muir Trauma Hospital. And she had brain bleeds, so it wasn't clear, you know, once she went into a coma and had multiple surgeries, it just wasn't clear at all, you know, whether she was going to come to, initially whether she was going to survive at all, but then once she got stabilized, whether she she was going to be able to regain consciousness and what the state of her cognitive abilities would be if she did come to.
In this edition of Radio Curious, we're visiting with Mark Lipman and Helen Cohen, the directors and producers of a movie called The States of Grace. You're listening to Radio Curious. I'm Barry Vogel. Mark and Helen, the relationship that Grace had to a number of factors in her life, her career as a physician, an eighth generation person in her family who was a doctor, and her Zen practice. She says in your film that she would have died early on if it weren't for her Zen practice. Can you tell us about that?
I think what she meant by that, or what we came to understand about the importance of her Zen practice, was that from years of sitting meditation for long periods of time in some cases, you just come to deeply know that pain and suffering that you're experiencing is going to pass, or you will move on to, you know, the next minute or the next day, and it'll be different. I'm by no means a Zen teacher, or for that matter, a Zen practitioner myself, but I think there's something very profound about just having had the experience of sitting and of just being very much in the moment and not having huge expectations about what was coming next, but just taking it as it comes. And I think that really served Grace in a profound way as she was recovering.
There was another section in the movie that really commanded my attention, where, in a sense, what I heard is that the speaker said, "I can imagine her position, but I can't get close to what it's like to be in her circumstances."
That speaker is her partner, Fu. And there's a lot of, much of the sort of speaker voice is voiceover of Fu or Grace. And in that case, or in that instance, Fu is really just trying to process. I think as we all were, it's like, you know, and as the film kind of brings up for people, it's like, wow, what would I do? Or how would I be? How would I behave? Could I get through something like this if it happened to me? And I think Fu, being the 24/7 caregiver, was constantly faced with caring for somebody who couldn't dress themselves, couldn't for a long time go to the toilet on her own. So, you know, that in that moment, it's Fu just saying, you know, I can imagine or I can try, but it's really pretty impossible. Yeah.
I think it has to do with Fu's sense of humility in this situation, too. I mean, as much time as she spends with Grace helping her, and she knows so intimately what Grace is going through, she's also just really acknowledging that on some really profound level, she can't possibly imagine what Grace's experience is, that it's really unique and unknowable.
I think it's important to point out that these two women, Fu and Grace, had been partners for many years, but at some point prior to Grace's accident, they released their intimate relationship and were home partners, and they adopted a newborn girl who was born drug addicted, who spent a good part of her life in a wheelchair, and then one of her mothers, all of a sudden, after 40-some days of being in a coma, began to spend the rest of her life in a wheelchair.
Well, yes, that fundamentally changed their relationship, of course. And there's one scene in the film that's pretty humorous, where Grace is there with Sabrina, and Sabrina's actually with her physical therapist and doing some exercises with her, and they're both in wheelchairs, and Sabrina, Grace's daughter, starts to throw a ball to her. And it's very clear from the visuals that Sabrina is actually much more able-bodied than Grace is at that point. And there's this real role reversal that happens of the daughter being more physically competent than the mother. And the other significant piece in this, and this was, I think, a real learning for Grace and Fu, that as aware as they had been as parents in terms of, you know, access and disability issues, they had done everything that they could to make Sabrina's environment as accessible as possible. Grace said that it wasn't until she was in a wheelchair herself and ran into blocks in many, many places where she was trying to go, where she lived at Green Gulch Farm. It wasn't until she was in a wheelchair that she understood the barriers that Sabrina faced and also just how much work it took simply to deal with the disability. It was incredibly exhausting.
I think the other big piece of it, too, was, and we deal with this, I mean, it's a whole dynamic in the film, is that Grace really had been the dominant parent prior to the accident and kind of the go-go parent, you know, that took care of everything and raced Sabrina around all over the place. And Grace was also working as a physician outside of their Green Gulch community, whereas Fu was, you know, being a Buddhist priest and was the director of Green Gulch. So for Grace to be rendered, you know, unable to move was just a radical shift of everybody's roles in the family. And you know, devastating for Grace, obviously, just because she could no longer be the same kind of parent that she had been all those years.
Perhaps until she says in the movie, I'm coming out as a disabled person.
Yeah, I think that is part of Grace's theme throughout, and I think will be a theme throughout the rest of her life beyond the years that we covered in the film. But I think, you know, the coming out, coming to terms with what happened to her, having her identity kind of catch up with the reality of her disabilities, you know, multiple disabilities. She says several times in the film, you know, I've come out, I'm kind of come to terms with this, but it's an ongoing process that needs to keep happening over and over again. And I think, honestly, for Sabrina, Grace's daughter, who was in the car with Grace in the accident, I think for her it's also a process to kind of understand that her mother, who was once, you know, such an active person in the world and parent to her, this disabled and is going to be in a wheelchair for the rest of her life.
When we talk about disabled, that's a physical disability and certainly doesn't affect Grace Dammann's professional ability. And perhaps you could describe the work that she does now at the hospital in San Francisco.
Well, Grace actually started the AIDS unit at Laguna Honda Hospital in 1990. And she was actually coming from Laguna Honda Hospital when the accident happened. And 3 years after the accident, much to everyone's amazement, she was hired to design and co-direct a pain clinic there one day a week. And in typical Grace fashion, it's not a traditional pain clinic. It incorporates acupuncture, a massage, music therapy, Feldenkrais, a number of alternative therapies, and medications are given, but they're not the primary modality that's used there. And it's really become a cutting edge model for other clinics across the country.
And I'll just add that most of Grace's patients at Laguna Honda Hospital are in wheelchairs themselves, and so for Grace, as a you know, a newly disabled person and physician, it's just a very powerful experience for her patients as well to have her caring for them, you know, from a wheelchair herself.
Well, Helen Cohen and Mark Lipman, I'm curious as to how this project has impacted your relationship.
We're smiling at each other. it's had a very large impact, I believe. I mean, we were very close going into this project, but it's brought us even closer. I mean, this film consumed a lot of pillow talk over the last 5 years. Helen and I have been on a journey together, and we, even in a larger sense, we've been on a journey with Grace and her family, and there's a, just a very deep bonding that's happened around all of this. As we were moving along in the editing process, and the film was actually starting to take shape and have a real voice, it literally felt like we were giving birth to this as a couple. We don't have a biological child, but this really had the feeling of emergence and birth and bringing something new into the world that was really going to have an impact.
Helen, your comment?
This is my first personal film. Mostly I've done, you know, social issue documentaries, and to be able to make just a deeply personal observational film and kind of following our noses in the making of the film was just an incredible experience to share. And we have very similar sensibilities about film and creativity and visual, you know, dimensions of art. But we also have very complementary and very different kinds of skills and personalities. And I think in the making of the film, you know, the interviews, the directing of it, as well as the editing process, are different kinds of skills and perspectives just complement each other really, really well. So it was, I think we got closer through the experience and also kind of came to respect each other's strengths and ideas in a whole new way.
Well, Mark and Helen, I'd like to ask you both separately about a eureka or an aha moment in your life's experience that's changed your view of the world or changed the way you live and work.
Well, for me, my aha moment was becoming a mother. And I do actually remember a very profound existential moment where my daughter was 2 weeks old, and I just had this kind of sense hit me like a thunderbolt that this was it. I was this person's mother, and I was going to be this person's mother for the rest of my life, and, you know, had a whole new relationship to the world. And my daughter also has a developmental disability, which I discovered when she was about 3 or 4 years old. So that was kind of the other, I don't know if I would call it an aha moment, but a very defining discovery that influenced my experience as a mother and my experience as a person.
Mark, what would your response to that question be?
About 15 years ago, I took a trip to Greece that profoundly changed the direction of my life. I was working on a film about my father who died when I was 17. There was a different kind of energy that opened up inside of me through this experience. And some of it had to do directly with the film work that I was doing and changing my relationship to my father, which had been changing a lot over the many years since he died. But there was just sort of a release that happened. It's very hard to describe, but there was a different sense of freedom and sense of myself, sense of my place in the world, sense of possibility that came out of this trip.
Mark, what would you like to do with the remainder of your one precious life?
That doesn't get any more profound. It's quite a question. I would like to live the rest of my life as creatively as I possibly can. The experience of making this film about Grace just opened up enormous possibility for me in terms of my work as a cinematographer, as a filmmaker, as someone who bears witness. I think I'm thinking about documentary film in a different way through this experience. And the idea of witnessing and allowing others to have experiences that they wouldn't ordinarily have through this witnessing is just very powerful to me. One thing that Helen and I shared coming into this film was really wanting it to have a poetic aspect to it. And I think we were able to do that through some of the imagery and some of the ways that it's edited. And that kind of poetry is something that I want to have in my life from here on I've been focused primarily on social issue documentary over the last 30 years, and I just feel a real opening to expand that, not to leave it, but to open it up in a more poetic way, in a more open-ended way, where there's sort of more nuance and more direct personal experience that people can observe and learn from.
And Helen Cohen, what would you like to do with the remainder of your one precious life?
I share Mark's ambition around being as creative as humanly possible. And I think one thing that I've taken from this film, actually, from the filmmaking experience and from Grace in particular, is to live life with gusto and live every day. So that's my plan. I mean, I'm a painter as well as a documentary filmmaker, and my painting life has been gaining momentum over the last several years. So I'm very much hoping to get back into my studio.
And finally, Helen and Mark. Helen, you first. Is there a book or a film that you could recommend to our listeners?
My tried and true that I would recommend is The Kiss of the Spider Woman. And I guess a more recent film that I would recommend that's kind of an offbeat documentary would be Guest of Cindy Sherman.
And Mark Lipman?
From the mid-80s, there was a film called, another documentary called Sherman's March by Ross McElwee, which is a wonderful, very personal, verite documentary that was groundbreaking at the time and I think continues to be in many ways.
Mark Lipman and Helen Cohen, thank you very much for being with us on Radio Curious.
Thanks very much. It was great being here.
Mark Lipman and Helen Cohen are the directors and producers of the documentary film States of Grace, about the life of Dr. Grace Dammann. The films they recommend are The Kiss of the Spider Woman, Guest of Cindy Sherman, and Sherman's March. This interview was recorded on May 16, 2014. Over 500 archive editions of Radio Curious on our website, www.radiocurious.org, where they're free for you to stream, download, enjoy, and share. We appreciate your curiosity, ideas, comments, and questions. You may reach us by email. Our address is curious@radiocurious.org or snail mail 280 North Oak Street, Ukiah, that's UKIAH, California 95482, or by phone 707-462-6541. You've been listening to Radio Curious. Christina Onnestad is our associate producer, and I'm host and producer, Barry Vogel. Thank you for listening.